Well, one of the good things about getting older is that you get to see people again and again. And Gary Wilmot, our guest today on the Sunday Supplement, has been here before, as we were just reminiscing, 40 years ago, Gary.
Yeah, absolutely, in Radio Times, yeah, you reminded me. I was racking my brains the other day at the theatre. When was the last time I was here? And I just couldn't think, but of course it was Radio Times. I've been here so many times, you see.
Of course, yeah. And I was going to ask you that, actually. I mean, how much of your time is spent touring and how much is in the West End, would you say?
Well, over my career, I've done about half a dozen or maybe eight West End shows.
Yeah.
So that would be about 8 years in equivalent, I suppose, 7 or 8 years. In Plymouth, I've probably spent about 6 months of my life down here.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, if it's in your blood to do that, it must be a lovely way to make your living, because you know, you've always got those new horizons, haven't you?
Yeah, it's true. I mean, there's pros and cons, like any job, really. Everybody travels these days, so I'm not alone in that. There was a time when actors were pretty much the only people who travelled. And so you go to Newcastle, Scotland, South Wales. That's where I started. That's where I did all my early work in the social clubs, workwomen's clubs.
Wow, that's a grounding, areas. Isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. You learn so much. And whenever anybody says to you when you're young, you just do it for the experience, you never really know what that is. But now I can look back and say it was indeed those experiences that made me the rubbish performer I am today.
Oh no, you're far from that. You're a very, very accomplished performer. And here in Plymouth for a week in Big the Musical.
Yeah.
That's quite an interesting one. I mean, what was your first thoughts when they asked you to do this one?
Well, yes, because the producer is Michael Rose, and I've worked for Michael a few times before, and his standards are second to none. He's an extraordinary man. He battles the big boys a lot, but he comes up with even bigger stuff than they do. And I think they kind of resent him a little bit for that, because his standards are really very, very high. So you know it's going to be a good job. I read the script. I knew the music from years ago. The original director on Broadway was a man called Mike Ockrent, who sadly was very, very ill at the time, and probably it wasn't his best work. But the show was a great quality, a very, very high quality. The songs were fantastic, and it didn't do too well on Broadway. But when it went on tour in America, it did really, really well. They changed an awful lot, by which time Mike was not involved in it. Mike was the original. Did I say that? It was the original director on Me and My Girl all those years ago.
Oh right, okay.
Yeah, so I kind of knew him, and that was the contact. I bought the album, loved the songs. They took some songs out, put some new ones in, and they took it on tour. Big success. And now we're doing it again, a revamped version of it. This is not the version that I knew, but the set is unbelievable. Even the people in the theatre are saying nobody would have seen anything like this before.
Wow,
it's extraordinary.
Yeah, that must give you a great thrill because the audience. Do they sit there with their mouths open when they see what's actually occurring?
Well, hopefully, yes, they will.
Yeah.
on more and more occasion. But, of course, a big set's one thing, but it means they're not looking at me, and I want everyone to look at me.
Yeah.
But it's tailored so beautifully. So it is a great set, but it's truly... Morgan Young is our director. He's tailored it so that it is absolutely a backdrop to what's going on in front of it. There are some amazing effects, but... basically, it's a really good story, a terrific story. And I always say, before you do anything, whether it's a ballet, an opera, it's got to be a good yarn. It's got to be a yarn worth telling. And this is really, really is that. It's a lot of fun, heart-wrenching, emotional. You'll need a box of tissues with you, particularly near the end. But it's an incredible tale.
And how does you know, when you get something that's been both on the big screen and on the stage as well, do you find that it varies hugely? I mean, it must have to, doesn't it?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I mean, because the film didn't have any songs in it, so straight away you've got less than an hour of songs, I suppose. You've got and there's music underscore all the way, so something has to go. But this is such a good and interesting and true story. It feels true, like a true story. It's it all kind of gels together very, very nicely. And the iconic scenes that are in the movie, like dancing on the giant piano in the store, that's all in there.
Yeah.
That is brilliant. I mean, to see the piece of scenery for that is worth the money alone.
Now, let's talk about the voice, because one of the things you said as we were walking into the studio was, these are the first words I've uttered this morning. How much work do you have to do to... Because you have a fabulous voice, but it doesn't happen by accident, does it?
Well, with me, it kind of did, really. I've never been formally trained. I've worked with some great people. A man called Henry Lewis, when I did Carmen Jones, was a tremendous help to me with regard to, you know, the placement of the voice. But I'm one of those performers that think that I should sing, or an actor should sing, in the same style as the character, rather than the voice that you've got. So I do tend to get a little bit tired in the early stages of a run, but after that, the voice, pardon me, the voice settles down and everything's fine. In the days of Howard Keel had his voice, and that was it. And whether he was playing a goodie or a baddie, every time he sang as Howard Keel.
Yes.
And that's a whole other story, that, but for another day. But I like, you know, if I'm playing Fagin, he'll have a different voice to, say, Tony in Copacabana, or indeed in this one. It's a... the character I'm playing, George McMillan, is a store owner, owns a toy company, and he has a different voice to the one I had in Radio Times, for instance.
Yeah. And what's the difference, if we can get that?
Well, if you're singing as Fagin and you're playing a role like Fagin and your voice is like this, you don't expect this crystal clear voice to come out when you start singing. It has to be an extension of the speaking voice. Yeah. Or if you're Tony and you're young and flighty and everything's like this, you know, you'll have another voice. It was big band jazz, of course, Copacabana. And then I go to Carmen Jones and it's more operatic. So I bend my voice to become more operatic, if you like.
Brilliant.
So, but no, it's just something I kind of do. I know lots of people do it.
Yeah.
Lots don't, but that's the way I like to go about
it. And there's something in the genes, isn't there? Because last time you were here, we talked about your father. And I'm a mole and I live in a hole.
Yeah, that's right. Yes. I'm pleased you remember it.
Oh, well, because the reason I remember it particularly is because it's one of my earliest childhood memories of hearing him do that line on kids' radio, I guess.
Yeah, well, my dad came over here in 1948 on a very important ship, as far as Caribbeans are concerned. It's called the Empire Windrush, which brought lots of men over here. There was a shortage of manpower, and so the government organised this ship to go to the Caribbean. They gave them cheaper passage, and they came to England. And I'm the result of my dad arriving in England. Yeah. But he got together with his brother and two other friends, and they formed a group called the Southlanders. And Mole in the Hole was, without doubt, the most popular hit. I am a mole and I live in a hole.
Oh, that's absolutely wonderful. Gary, it's so lovely to see you again. Thank you very much for coming in. And Big is on at the Theatre Royal until Sunday the 12th of November. The theatreroyal.com website is the place to go for tickets, or call the box office on 267-222. Gary, we look forward to seeing you again soon, and enjoy your week in Plymouth.
I will. Thank you very much.